We are going to continue looking at JavaScript. As I said, the last one we looked at was Math Answer, and we're going to finish that off now. So, under Programs, and then Math Answer. Only I think I have actually a version of it. File. I meant to look. MDAS, yes. Enter the first number 4, enter the next number 4. And enter a plus to add, and I've got the answer is 8. Okay, so this is where we left off. I want that bigger. Okay, that's where we were, and I asked you to add the plus or the minus. And I said that I would give you extra credit if you sent that to me before school started today. So, what I've got here is, we had the asterisk test, which means multiply. We had the slash, which meant divide. And then the original one had else, it was a problem. And we didn't deal with plus or minus. But now I'm adding in the plus. So I say else, check and see if it's a plus. And if it's a plus, then convert it to a number and add it up. But because the plus can mean concatenate, I need to have the parse, integer, parse, float, number, plus, whatever I want to have on it. But I need something to basically convince the browser that it should do an add as opposed to a concatenate. So, if it's not a plus, I say else, is it a minus? And if it's a minus, I do the subtract. And then I say else, I have a problem. Because if it is not an asterisk, slash, plus, or minus, I want to tell them it's a problem because they added something other than those 4. Okay? So that is the solution that I was looking for that I just continued on the way. And again, the flowchart that went with this was I'm asking if it's an asterisk, and if it is, I multiply. If it's not, I ask if it's a divide. And if it is, I divide. If not, I ask, is it a plus? And if it's a plus, I do an add. And if it's not, I ask if it's a minus. And if it's a minus, I do a subtract. And if it's not, I've run out of chances, so I put out the word problem. And now when I close these up, I close up the bottom. And then I say, okay, the yes and the no here, I close that up. And then I close up the next one. And then I close up the last one. So this is what I was looking for in this problem. Anybody got any questions? Okay. So we will go back and look at the next one in the list. So I'm going back. And the next one is if with if. So I said, enter the number of points you've earned. So I put in 45. And it says that I can choose from group B. Whoops. What did I just do? Come on. Okay. I have no idea what I just did, but anyway. View source. We were doing this yesterday, right? There it is. Okay. I don't know what I was clicking wrong, but I was clicking something wrong. Okay, so on this one, I am saying, enter the number of points you used, you earned. And then I'm doing a test. If it's less than 10, it's not enough points for a prize. Else, if it's less than or equal to 50, it is, you can choose a prize from group B, otherwise you can choose a prize from group A. And I entered 45, so therefore I get to choose from group B. Okay, because I entered a 45 there. Nope. Okay. I picked the wrong thing. There we go. Okay. And now I have to... It pays to pay attention sometimes. Okay. So I picked a 45 here. So on this one, if I start at the top, I've got my start, and I define my variables, and then I come in and I take in a prompt. And the prompt asks me for my points. So I'm taking in my points. And now I'm asking if my points is less than 10. And if it is, I'm putting out in message the not message. Else, okay, so the only ones that go over to that else are what? People that got how many points? Who takes the no? How many points?
Well, some of them more than 10.
That's right. It's got to be more than 10. Because less than 10 has already gone this direction. So only more than 10 come over here. So when I ask the less than or equal to 50, I'm looking for really 10 up to 50. Okay, because 1 through 9 has already been dealt with. So I'm really here looking at 10 through 50. And they get a B, and others get an A. So basically, if they are 51, where are they going to get? What are they going to get?
B.
51?
No, A.
A. And then I am going to write out the message. So I've got this, and I'm writing out the message, and then I am stopping. Okay. So essentially, when I take the no, I'm looking for 10 through 50. Okay? And that is what's coming here. Okay? The 10 through 50, that's what I'm looking for there. And if it's not, if it's greater than 50, I'm going to be over here with the A. Okay. 10 through 50, I'm going to be at the B. Okay.
And more than 50 are going to be at the A.
Okay.
Now, these are basically all or relationships.
Because I'm saying, if it's less than 10, handle it. Else, if it's not less than 10, make another check. So that basically means what I'm looking at is an or. I'm not looking at an and, I'm looking at an or.
Because it's either less than 10, or it's between 10 and 50, or whatever's left is greater than 50. So it's an or relationship that's going on there. Okay. Mass or Rhode Island? So I'm asking for the person's name, John, and the state, Rhode Island. Okay. So this is an or relationship. I think I actually want that bigger. Okay, so that's an or relationship. Now I've got a compound or. I've said, okay, first of all, I've set up a variable called the name. And I am immediately putting out a prompt. And whatever the person types in is going to go into the name. Lots of times I define my variables separately. In fact, that's my preference. But you can do it this way. You can say set up a variable and then prompt to get data for the variable. The word window there is optional. The prompt is always being done in a window. And so I can write window.prompt or I can just write prompt. Window is totally optional. So I'm taking in whatever the user types as the name, and I type John. So I'm going to be taking in John. And then I did the same thing with the state. I typed in Rhode Island, and it got assigned to the state. Now I'm looking to see if the state is either Massachusetts or Rhode Island. Okay, so this is, again, an or situation. And the or, I can make a compound with the or is two pipes. And the pipe is right below the backspace. It's the shift backspace, right below the backspace. It, on my keyboard, that looks like there's a little space in between when you do the pipe. Some of the newer keyboards doesn't show that little space in between. But anyway, it's the pipe. It's on the same thing as the backslash. So that pipe means or. So this is read as a compound that says, if the state is Mass or the state is Rhode Island, either one or the other. If it is, I am putting out the contents of the variable called the name. I'm concatenating it with a literal that says, you live in. And notice I've got a space in front of the Y and a space after the N so that I get the spaces there and it doesn't just all mush together. Okay? And then I'm concatenating it with the state. And then I could have put a plus there to concatenate with a BR, or I can put a comma there to concatenate to M to have a separator and have a BR. Okay, so I could have had a space, a plus, or I could have had a comma there. Either one would work. And that simply skips down to the next line. Now, why did I have to skip down to the next line? I absolutely had no reason to do that other than to show you the BR, okay? Because I'm not writing anything else, so why do I need to skip down to another line? But I did.
Then on the bottom, I wrote the name. So if they weren't Mass or Rhode Island, I wrote the name, concatenated with, you do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. And I put the BR right inside that literal.
Okay, so the BR is right inside the literal. And that's another way. If I have a literal there that has the quotes anyway, I can just stick the BR in. And so it writes out, you do not live in Mass or Rhode Island, and it writes out the BR. Okay. So if you have a compound, and we've looked at compounds before, then you can do it this way. So I'm saying basically, is it Mass? If it is, then I am going to document write out the you live in message. Okay, and I don't want to write the whole one, so I'm going to just document write out the you live in message. If the answer is no, I'm asking, is it Rhode Island? And since I got a yes, I'm going to write out the you live in message. And if not, I'm going to write on the do not message. Okay. Now, from what we looked at when we looked at compounds in the logic, if these two are the same, I can make this a compound. Don't have to, I can write them separately. But I can make it a compound because those are the same. So I decided to make it a compound. Because there's no differentiation between how I want to handle Mass and how I want to handle Rhode Island. There's no difference. Okay. If there was a difference in how I wanted to handle them, then I couldn't use a compound. But if it's Mass, I want to write out this message. And if it's Rhode Island, I want to write out that message. So it doesn't matter which one I use. Questions? Are you sure? Okay. Come on, we can do this. Okay, so the next one is problem two. And I said, enter your name, Anne, enter the year of birth, 1988. I'm trying to remember what the number is. Enter your marital status, S. Okay. I do not meet the criteria. Okay, so first of all, with this one, I have these symbols which mean and. So if I have two things in an and relationship, I can test them by putting and in there. And that's what I did. Okay, before I do that, notice that at the same time I took in the year of birth, I converted it to integer. So I converted it over to a number at the same time I took it in. Okay? In case I wanted to be able to use it as a number later on.
so I can do that if I want to. So what I've got here is the logic is saying, okay, if the year of birth is greater than 1980, and so that means I have both of these, whoops. And I'm looking for marital status equal to M. Doesn't like where I put this back. How's it gonna be happy? If I have marital status equal to M, then I can write out the fact that they meet the criteria. If not, I am going to write out do not meet the criteria. So the first thing is that this is an and relationship, and I'm trying to decide whether I can make a compound. And the big thing here is, are these two the same? If those two are the same, then I can do a compound. If the no's are the same. Okay. So I'm now saying if the year of birth is greater than 1980 and the marital status equals M, I want to say that they met the criteria. In either case, if it's no, I want to put out the message, do not meet the criteria. And since it's the same message, I can make a compound. But if these two messages were different, then I have to ask simple if statements, single if statements. Okay? So if it's different things, if it's not 1980, I want to put out you were born in the wrong time, and if it's not the name, I'm saying I'm only interested in married, then I can't make it single. I mean, I can't make it compound. There we go. So if the messages are different, I have to write out the if statements separately. Okay? And hopefully that makes you think back to some of the logic that we looked at, and that makes sense. Yes, no, maybe? There's another way that you can analyze these, and I'm going to bring up and put it over here. And that's with something that's called a decision table. If I have condition A, and I have condition B, okay, and I have yes, yes, no, no, yes, no, yes, no. Okay, so if I have two conditions, those are the only possibilities. I can get a yes to both. I can get a yes to the first and a no to the second. I can get a no to the first and a yes to the second, or I can get no's to both of them. But if I have two conditions, those are my only possibilities, right? So if I'm looking for an and relationship, which ones of those would be true? It has to be yes, yes, okay? If I'm looking for A and B, then this one is the process one. And this is the else. Else do something else. Because I need both of them to be true in order to process. Okay, so in this example that we just looked at, the year had to be greater than 1980 and the marital status had to be M.
And if those were both true, then I took the else and wrote out the error message. Or the you don't meet the criteria message. Wasn't really an error, you don't meet the criteria message. Now, if I have an A or, and I have the same thing, and I have an or, one or the other has to be true. Which ones of those would be processed?
Second and third.
What about the first? Having two yeses is fine.
I don't have a problem with having two yeses. So these all can be processed. And this one is the else. If I get a no to both of them, I run out of chances and I take the else.
But if I get a yes to either of the conditions, and I don't care if I get a yes to both of them, okay, then I am going to process. Okay, I really didn't mean to take a picture of that because it's not there. So, if I look at this kind of as a flowchart, what I'm doing is saying, if it's A and it's B, then I'm going to process. If it is not B, then I am going to do whatever I have under the else. And I'll just write no. No. Okay. So if it's A and B, if I get a yes to both of them, I go ahead and process. If I got a yes to A and a no to B, I don't process. If I get a no to A, I never even ask about B. Because if I need both of them true, if I get a no to A, I don't even bother to ask about B in the flowchart. Okay? Because if I get a no to A, notice either one of those, I'm not going to process. I'm going to go to the else. Okay, down here with the or, I'm going to ask, is it A? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to process. If the answer is no, I'm going to ask, is it B? And if the answer is yes, I'm going to process. And if I get a no to both of those questions, then I'm going to go to the else and do the no, whatever the no message is. So, in this case, if I get an A to yes, okay, if I get A as a yes, I don't even bother to ask about B, because I only need one of them to be true. So if A is true, I'm all set. If A is not true, then I have to ask about B. So if I get a no to A, then I have to ask about B. And if B is true, I process. If not, I don't have any more chances left. So that's two ways of looking at the logic on an and an or. And then we come to, can I make it a compound? And the can I make it a compound is, if both of these processes are true on the or, then I can make it a compound. And up on the and, if both of the no's are the same, I can make it a compound. Okay? Questions? You sure? Let's see. So if I take this and edit, select all, and copy, and paste, then I can show the compound without messing up my original drawing. So if these are the same, I can use a compound. Don't have to. Some people would rather write simple ifs. And down here, if those two are the same, I can compound. That's a D up there someplace. Oh well. Okay. Questions? Anybody? There should be. I really think there should be questions. I really do. Questions? Going, going, gone. Okay, so we're going back to here. And now we're going to start looking at loops. Because remember that to be able to program, you need to have sequence. And then selection. You need to have sequence. And sequence just means, for example, the prompts are a good explanation of sequence. 1, 2, 3, just keep going. And programming always drops down. So when it finishes a line, unless you've told it otherwise, it drops to the next line. It says, and if they are, then that's not going to do that. So I have sequence, I have selection, and I have loops. And now we're going to start to look at loops with that while mark over there. Okay, so now we're going to start to look at loops. Okay, so the first loop that I want to look at is a while loop. How many times should I write the line? 5. For some reason, I always like to write it 5 times. I'm not... whatever. For some reason... the magic that we did last time is not working as well. But I think I want it big anyway, so it might as well do it this way. Okay, so here is the loop. If you were in 122 yesterday, this looks vaguely familiar. So what I've got here is data input, and this time I did it on 2 lines. I've got variable data input equals 0, and then I put up a prompt to take it in. And the last one, I did that all in 1 line, and it's your option how you want to do that. Okay? So this time I did it in 2 lines. I set up a variable called data input, and I gave it a 0. And then I said, okay, how many times do I want to write the line? And I answered 5. And so it then went down, and it has an area called count. And it set count up at 1. And data input... got set up as 5. Okay, because that's what I put in. So now I'm saying while count is less than data input, less than or equal to data input, well, 1 is clearly less than 5, so it goes in, it does the document write, and it writes out that first line.
Notice it includes count. So it writes out, this is the number concatenated with whatever is in count. And this time I need the BR, and I'm concatenating with the literal BR, which is also in quotes. Then I add one to count. So count is now a 2. And I loop back. Is count still less than or equal to data input? Yes, it is. So I write and I add one to count. And I loop back. It's still less than 5. So I write and I add one to count. I loop back. It's still less than 5. So I add one to count somewhere along the line. When I go back, it's now 5, but those are equal. So I write, add one to count. Now when I go back, count is a 6. Data input is a 5. Count is not less than or equal to data input. Because 6 is not less than or equal to 5. So it stops. And when the loop is done, it goes here and writes out document write and writes another BR because I wanted to skip a line and writes this is the end. Okay? Now, here I have 2 literals concatenated together. I didn't have to do that. I could have said BR and then written this is the end. So I could have put it all there. BR, this is the end. Okay, and all in one little. I just noticed that I was missing a semicolon here. Sometimes JavaScript forgives me for that. Other times it doesn't. But notice that in fact I was missing a semicolon there. That I never noticed, and it didn't notice either, apparently, because it ran. But technically, I should have had a semicolon there. Okay, now, if you remember, we talked about doing a loop, that you need 3 things. When you're doing a loop, you need to first set the control outside the loop. Okay, so here's where I set the control. So that's where I did that. Number 2 is I need, and my control here is count. Okay, my control is count. So here, then I need to check my control. And I'm doing that here in the while loop, so I'm checking the control there. And number 3, I need to change the control. And changing the control is when I say count equals count plus 1, so that's changing the control. So I have all 3 things going on. I set the control, I checked it, and I changed it. Remember, if I don't change it, then I've got a forever loop. I've got an endless loop that's going to go on forever, because if count stays 1, it will always be less than the input if I put in an input greater than 1. What would happen if I put in an input of 0 here instead of 5? So data input was 0.
She just writes, this is the end.
That's right. Okay. So let's try it. I'm going to do a refresh on this. How many times should I write the line? I'm putting in 0.
And so when I run, that's what I get. This is the end. Okay? So I put in a zero. That means the data input is set to zero. Then on the next line, I put a one in count. Then I came down and said, well, count is less than or equal to data input. Is it? No, it's not.
So what does that mean I do?
I just drop right out of the loop. Okay. I never enter the loop. Since I never enter it, I just go to the line right after the loop. I never enter the loop. Okay, because if it's zero, one less than or equal to zero is my condition to go in the loop. If I don't meet that condition, I just drop out and I go and do that line, which writes out, this is the end. But I will never enter the loop.
I really wish somebody'd ask a question. Yeah, good, thank you.
No, I was just wondering, between data input and prompt, how come there's no space between that and equal sign?
It just lets me either way. I usually put a space because I think it's more readable.
Okay.
But it will let me. It knows. It looks for the equal sign and acts on that.
So it doesn't make a difference?
No, it doesn't make a difference. Basically, when I make up the name of a variable, I can't have an equal sign in it for just that reason. So you're not supposed to put a bunch of special characters inside when you make up a name. An underscore is one of the ones they allow. And there's no embedded spaces. Where have you heard that before? No embedded spaces in a field name either. Yeah.
How come with the count equals count plus one, how does it know to add it instead of concatenate it?
Oh, good question. And I should have brought that up. Most of the browsers are very smart, and if they see an actual number, they say, oh, must be an ad, if they see an actual number. Now, browsers change on a regular basis, so there's going to come a day, maybe, when all of mine that assume that, too, are going to crash. So, you know, if you want to be super safe, you could write parse integer on count there. But it's been a long time that the browsers have done that, and I don't think they're going to change it because I think there'd be too many squawks. Okay? So, if there is an actual number, it makes an assumption that you want to add. Okay? If it's a name and a name, then it doesn't make that assumption. Okay? So, with an actual number, it defaults to an add. And as I say, I always say this with a certain amount of cross my fingers, because the problem is it's not a single entity that is making the determination about how that's being processed. It's all of the different browsers have to be in sync. Now, JavaScript has made certain recommendations, and I'm sure that's probably in the recommendations. But still, with so many browsers out there, it's kind of a scary thing to make assumptions. But I do it all the time. But anyway. Okay, questions. See, I've got some really good questions, so that means you should have been asking questions. And I think I just took that 10 times. What?
This is, if you don't know what you're doing, ask a question.
Yes? That means you all know what you're doing, right? What did I just do?
Oh, I know what I did. I can't talk and chew gum at the same time, apparently. Okay, so now we'll go to the next one, which is a do loop. How many times should I write the line? 5. So it worked exactly the same way. Okay, so this time the only difference is the condition is at the bottom. It works the same way. And we'll write it out 5 times. Now, the problem is, what about if I enter a 0 this time? What will happen?
It'll say this is number 1 and then go right to the end.
Yes. You have an advantage. You heard it before. Okay, so what happens here is, let's try it. Okay, so I'm going to refresh, and I'm going to say, how many times do I want to write the line? 0. And this is what I get. And the reason is, it drops down and it hits the do. And the do doesn't have any condition on it. So it drops into the loop. It does the document right. This is number concatenated with count, which is 1. Then it adds 1 to count, so count's now up to 2. And when we get to the bottom, we finally have a condition, and it's going to be testing, is 2 less than or equal to 0? No, 2 isn't less than or equal to 0, so it drops out of the loop. But it doesn't check first. The check is at the bottom. Okay, the check is at the bottom. So it does the loop once. It does the loop and then checks. So that means that it's always going to do it at least once. Now that's one of the reasons for having a couple of different ways of doing the loop. Because if the programmer wants to have a loop that is always done at least once, they can code it this way. If they want to have a loop that may or may not be done, they can code it the other way with the while. So the programmer gets to decide what they want. And that gives the programmer some flexibility. Okay. But this one will always execute at least once. Okay. Questions? Okay, the third kind of loop. I really don't want to cancel that. I really just want to wipe it out. Okay, so the third one is the if with a loop. It was the do loop. How many times should I write the line? 5. Okay. Whoops, did I just do do? Oh, well. So why didn't somebody yell at me? When I do stupid things, you're supposed to yell at me. Or do it nicely, but anyway. I guess I don't have a for loop here, okay? There is a for loop, and we'll actually look at that later on. But there is actually a for loop in here, too, that we will look at. Okay, so I'm starting out on the next one, which is called If With Loop. And I'm putting out alerts. Okay, so I said count at beginning of loop is 1. And then I said enter the number of points you want, and I put 12. Total points after the add is 12. Count at the beginning of the loop is 2. Enter the number of points, 56. Total points is 68. Enter loop 3. How many points? 100. I've now got 168. Beginning 4, enter something. I'll put in 20. I've now got 188. Beginning loop 5, I'll put in 5. I've got 193, and I finally get to quit. Okay, now the point of all that is that unless you get the white screen of death, which makes this kind of impossible, but in case, unless you get that, these alerts, if you just, the logic isn't working, if you're not getting the answer that you wanted to get, putting in a bunch of alerts will show you what you have and will kind of give you an idea of what's going on so that you can follow the logic. You know, I was having it add to something, and down here I showed the total points after each pass so I could see if it was adding correctly. Okay, if it was concatenated, I would have noticed that I would have had this long, long, long number after I'd done it 5 times and would have said, whoops, I'm concatenating instead of adding. But if you are having problems, I would stick in a bunch of alerts because they tell you where you are. The other thing I said is in JavaScript, I would never write 50 lines. I write something small, I get it running. I go back and I add something, I get it running. I add some more, I get it running. Because then if all of a sudden I get the white screen of death, I know that it was that stuff I just added that caused the problem. And that has limited it. Okay, so on this one, I had a loop. And it went through, started count out of 1, added 1 to count, and here's where I actually put that parse integer in there. Added 1 to count, and went through the loop, you know, 5 times. Now, what I'm doing here is, you know how count equals count plus 1, okay? Count, and we say equals count plus 1 because we're used to saying it that way. But in fact, that is not an equality. Count does not equal count plus 1. Okay, that's not. So when I say count equals count plus 1, that's not right. What this is an assignment sign. And the way I should say it, but I never will, is take count, add 1 to it, and assign it to count. That's what I'm really doing. Take count, add 1 to it, and assign it to count. Because that's not an equal sign, it's an assignment sign. Okay? So, now I come down, and notice I prompted and I took in the number of points. And I think I added 12 and 50 and 100 and whatever. Okay. So what I've got here is this one, total points, and I'm going to forget the parse integer for a minute, equals total points plus input points. So what I'm saying there is, take whatever is in total points, add the input points to it, and assign it back to total points.
So that's how I accumulate a total.
Count equals count plus one adds one to count. Total points is total points plus input points adds input points to total points and puts it back in total points.
So that's how I accumulate. So if I enter 5 and then I enter 10, total points would be a 5. I input 10, total points is now going to be 15. I input 20, total points is now going to be 15, and 20 is 35. It's going to keep growing like that, and I'm going to keep putting in the input points. Okay? So that's how I accumulate a total. Yes?
Is it better practice to use the parse integer or like the plus plus, or does it not?
It's totally up to you, whatever one you're comfortable with.
Okay.
I learned this before they had the others. So I tend to use the parse integer, parse float, because those were all that was available when I was first learned this, and habits are hard to break. But clearly there's less typing if you put in the plus. The number, just remember to have a capital N, but you have to remember to have a capital on this one too, so.
There are a billion different ways to do everything in programming. It's whatever you make so you feel better.
Right. And habits. I mean, you know, I would, for me at least, I get into a habit and stick with it because then I don't have to think. But if every time I did this, I had to think, how am I going to convert this? You know, I just don't bother.
So then I add it to a total, and then just to show that, I show total points so I can see that it's working correctly. Okay, and the alerts would obviously be something I would take out when I was done writing the program. They're a help in writing it. So now I said, okay, now I'm going to test if it's less than 20. And this is similar to one that I did before where I just put in 1 point. Okay, but here I'm accumulating and then testing. And so I have a while and then I have an if. Okay. Questions? Gone. Okay, so this one is one that if enter the points that player one earned, 34. Enter 45. Do you want to play again, yes or no? And I'm clicking a capital Y. 12 and 12. We'll do it both. Do you want to do it again? No. So right now, player 1 has 46 points, and player 2 has 57 points. Okay. So, if I look at the code on this, view source, okay, there's my code. Okay, so I set up player one total, player two total, player one entry, player two entry. Then I set up a variable called continue program, and I made it a capital Y. And remember, right now we haven't dealt with how we could use a capital Y or a lowercase y. So a capital Y is a different computer code than a lowercase y. So it doesn't know that they're the same. And if I don't program it to know, then it will not act that way. There is a function that we'll look at later that we can convert whatever it is to uppercase. And there is also, I could always say, while continue program equals uppercase Y, or bar bar, continue program equals lowercase y. And then it would accept either one of them. Okay, so I'm going in here and I am putting up a prompt to take in a number.
And this is the one that's real iffy that I get away with, but I do. I convert it to integer. And somehow when I convert it to integer, when I take it in, then when I do the add, it seems to be happy with my not writing parse integer or parse whatever on this. Because I've already converted that to integer and it seems to understand. That one is a little bit, okay, I got away with it, but don't hold your breath, than the actual number. But it works. Now, so I take in the points, and then I set player one entry, add to player one total, and assign it back to player one total. So I'm accumulating the totals for player one and player two. Again, I don't need the word window on the next line. That can go away. So I'm going to say prompt. You want to play again, Y or N? And the person hopefully enters a Y if they want to play again, or an N if they don't. But in fact, I don't care what they enter if they don't want to play again. Because I'm going to go back and I'm only testing for a Y. And if they enter a Y, then we'll play again. If they enter anything else, I'm out of here, okay? I only play again if they enter a capital Y. Anything else, I'm gone. And then I drop down and I say, okay, now document right, the total for player one is player one total. Document right, and I did a BR there. I didn't have to do a separate line. I could have stuck the BR in right before the law on the next document right, and that would have worked too. But I did a separate BR, and I wrote out player two's total, and those are showing up there. So the logic that I did for this, if I look at a whole program, I have the start. I set up my variables. And then I came to doing the loop. And I said, okay, is continue program a Y? If it is, then I want to do the loop, which is I want to do a parse. I want to do a prompt that asks for player one, and I'm just going to put P1 there because I can't write anything. And then I'm going to do another prompt that asks me to put in the player two total. And then I'm going to do an add to the player one total. So player total and player one total. And then I'm going to do an add for a player two total, and I'm running out of room. And then I'm going to put out the prompt that asks for the Y or the N. Asks for the Y or N. Capital Y. Or N. Then I'm going to loop back. When I loop back, that's a loop. Okay, so I did all the stuff inside the loop. Not terribly clearly, I should have started a little further over. But I put in, I guess I can write the Y or N here. And that makes it a little clearer. So I did the five things that are inside the loop. If you look at the loop, there are five things there. That's kind of my showing that I did the five things. Okay? Lots of times you end up cleaning up the flowchart after you're done. But the first pass is kind of messy. So now I have the yes. Now, interestingly enough, when you do an if, you write the no going off to the other side. In a loop, you frequently write the no going down. Yes, go do the stuff. No, go down. And so now I'm going to write out the player one total, and I'm going to write out the player two total, and then I am going to stop. And so I wrote out the player one total, I wrote out the player two total, and now I am stopping.
I'd like to point out for everybody else, and when you declared your variables for the continued program, you have to start with yes in the yes position, or else the loop won't even start, because it's checking to see if the variable is already yes.
Right. So basically, I'm doing what I always have to do in a loop, and that is I'm doing the setting here, I'm doing the checking here, and the prompt is actually doing the changing, because the prompt is letting the user type in either Y or something else. So you're right. I have to set prior to the loop, so I set it equal to Y, because I want to enter. If I set it equal to N, then why did I bother? To make a loop.
Same for anybody that likes to leave things blank there.
Okay. So I need to set it. I need to check, which is I'm checking to see if continue program is equal to, and remember, this is an equal sign, because equal means check for equal. And then I have the change. So I have the three things I need, the set, the check, and the change. Because when I prompt the user, obviously they can change their mind and put in an N. So I have the set, the check, and the change. Okay, now you are going to take the next 10 minutes and write something. I want to know who won. Okay, up here at the top it says the total for player 1 is 46, the total for player 2 is 57, but I haven't declared a winner. I want to put in the code, and it would go right here. I want to put in the code to declare a winner. Now, how many possibilities are there? How many possibilities are there?
Two.
Well, no. Because you can have a tie. Okay, so there's three possibilities. Player 1-1, player 2-1, or it's a tie. Those are the three possibilities. So that means I've got to ask more than one if statement. I have to ask, for example, is player 1 greater than player 2? Then I know that player 1 won. Else, I've still got, I don't know whether it was a tie or player 2 won, so I need to ask another question. And I could ask, is player 1 equal to player 2? It's a tie. Or I could say, is player 2 greater than player 1? Then player 2 won. Else, it's a tie. I don't need to ask all three questions, because if I get a no to the first two questions, I know it's the third. So, you've got a little under 10 minutes. Please clean up this program, and we'll look at it on Thursday and put in the who won. And you get 10 minutes off. I think you're the only overlap. I think you're the only overlap.
Thank you.
No, you get 10 minutes off, because you've already done this. Questions? And you are here because of this. Check in to see if you had a question.
No, I'm not going to bother anybody.
Okay, if you have any questions, Eric is sitting there looking restless. So ask him a question. There's a lot of keyboarding going on. That's a good sign.
feel free to talk it over with the person sitting next to you, if that helps. If you have questions, please bring Eric or I over.
Are we fixing the end?
Hmm?
Are we fixing the end?
You're telling who won. Player one, player two, or was it a tie? It's very similar to the if statements that are on the program we just looked at before we got here.